What's funny is when you try to show the error of this book and just show the wickedness of this book and how it perverts and corrupts scripture, the Seventh-day Adventists will try to tell you, oh, well, that's not our official Bible. That's not an official Bible of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They'll try to, you know, distance themselves from it, but it says right on the back of it, it says Jack J. Blanco, and I think it's funny that their cult leader is a woman named Ellen G. White, and this guy's name is Blanco, which is what? Spanish for white. So anyway, right on the back, the author of this book, because they'll say, oh, that's just, you know, a guy wrote that. You know, that was just one Seventh-day Adventist who wrote that. You know, that doesn't represent our whole church. That was just written by one guy. That's what they'll try to say. But listen to this. Jack J. Blanco is chair of the religion department of Southern Adventist University near Chattanooga, Tennessee. Okay, so this guy is the chairman of the religion department of this major Seventh-day Adventist university in Tennessee. So this isn't just some renegade Seventh-day Adventist. He's going to be the next David Koresh or something, who was also, you know, a renegade Seventh-day Adventist branch, Davidian, whatever. You know, no, this guy right here is a major professor and a major, he's the chairman of the religion department at their university, at their seminary. Not only that, this book is published by their official publishing house, the Review and Herald Publishing Association. Not only that, it's for sale in Seventh-day Adventist church bookstores all over America. Not only that, lots of Seventh-day Adventists are carrying this thing around, showing up to church with it, showing up to their Bible studies with it, and this is a Bible there. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, that's not a Seventh-day Adventist Bible. You're selling it, you're publishing it, it's written by one of your top university guys, and then all of a sudden you're going to act like, oh, I don't know that book, you know, what in the world? Well, this book is mentioned on Adventist.org, the official church website. There's an article on there about choosing a Bible translation, and on there it explains that there are three types of Bible translations. So they're putting this in a list of Bible translations. And they say, well, there are basically three types of Bible translation. They say, number one, there's the essentially literal, a translation that's literal. And they list, you know, the King James Version as being a literal translation. And then they say, you know, the ESV is a literal translation. The New American Standard is a literal translation. Then they say, number two, there are dynamic equivalence translations, translations that translate a little more loosely, not as much word for word and a little more thought for thought. And they list some Bibles like the NIV and the New Living Translation. Okay. Then number three, they say there are free paraphrases. And here's what they say about paraphrases on Adventist.org. Paraphrases take great liberty with the biblical text and seek to convey the meaning of the author using contemporary phrases and metaphors. The best known paraphrases are the Clear Word, the Living Bible, and the Message. Now I have a question for you. Is the Clear Word one of the best known paraphrases? Who's ever heard of the Clear Word before tonight? No. Look around. It's really, yeah, well, you have your. So is this the first in a list of the best known paraphrases? No, because they just want to get it out there. They're promoting it as, oh yeah, you know, of course, the Clear Word, the Living Bible, the Message. Here's the thing. You're not going to find this book down at the Christian bookstore. Go down to the Balaamite bookstore and this book will not be there. But you know what will, but you know where you will find this book? Seventh-day Adventist church bookstores all over America. It's the Seventh-day Adventists that are the only ones who promote and use this book, okay? It's their Bible that they've put out to promote their false doctrines. Now listen to this. The best known paraphrases are the Clear Word, the Living Bible, and the Message. Within each of these categories, there is significant variation. For example, the NIV is generally more literal than other dynamic equivalent translations, while the Message makes bigger departures. Listen carefully. Adventist.org says that the Message makes bigger departures from the original text than the Living Bible or the Clear Word. So what are they saying? The Message is a much looser paraphrase than this thing. Is that what they said? We're going to test that right now. I've got the Message I never thought I'd be defending the Message, and I'm not defending the Message. You know, all these translations are bad. We're King James Bible only here. That's all we use, King James Bible, none of this stuff. But let me tell you something. This thing makes the Message look literal, and you're going to see that in a second. I'm not even, and that's a weird thing to say, I know. But for them to sit there and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, the Message takes these big liberties. You know, the clear word stays more true to the text. Well, let's see if that's true. Now, here's the thing. I didn't even really need much effort to find the problems in this clear word. I've got all these index cards and all the different pages where I found heresy. You say, Pastor Anderson, did you read that thing cover to cover? How'd you find all that stuff? Because it was so easy to find. Here's all I did. I didn't even go on the internet to go look at a list somewhere. Here's what I did to find it. I just looked up all the verses that show that hell is eternal because I knew they'd all be changed. And I looked up all the verses about departing and going to be with the Lord. Everything that contradicts their doctrine, that's a good place to look for what they're going to change, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, that's where they made the big changes. Let's go to Luke 16, Luke chapter 16. Because when you think about people suffering in hell, this is the most famous passage. Luke 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, some people will just write this off as being a parable. But in parables, Jesus never gives people names. Because in parables, he'll just say there was a certain man. There was a rich man. There was a poor. But in this one, he actually names a guy named Lazarus, showing that it's a real story that literally took place. Now, I want you to go to Luke 16 in your King James Bible, because you're going to follow along in that as I give it to you from the clear word. But first of all, let's just read it in the King James to get our minds on that which is right. It says in Luke 16, beginning in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, does this jive with the Seventh-day Adventist? Oh, no, when you die, you're just asleep. And then eventually you'll just burn up in hell and you're just gone, just annihilated. It's just over. You're just burned up and destroyed and it's done. No, this is a pretty chilling story, isn't it?
Right.
Let's see what the clear word does, okay? Look, this is not even a paraphrase. This makes the Message look mild, as scary as that is, okay? Let me turn to the scripture here in this phony clear word Bible of the Seventh-day Adventists. Okay, you're looking down at your Bible at verse 19. And listen carefully to that number, 19, because it's going to be so unrecognizable, you need to get your bearings now in your Bible, okay? 19. Listen to what they've done to the story. Then he said to the Pharisees, you keep telling people the story you put together about a rich man dressed in fine clothes and lived luxuriously. Did you hear that? Listen to it again. Then he said to the Pharisees, you keep telling people the story you put together about a rich man who dressed in fine clothes and lives luxuriously. In your story, there's also a poor man called Lazarus. So notice, Jesus is not stating this story as fact, as he does in the Bible. He's teaching it as the Word of God. In this book, he tells the Pharisees, you made up that story. You made up the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Can you believe that? And this claims to be a paraphrase. And all throughout it, he keeps saying that. Like in verse 22, as you tell it, the day came when the poor man died and was carried by the angels into glory to sit by Abraham. Verse 27, then according to your story, the rich man said, I beg you, Father. Do you see all these additions? To completely change the story from truth into a lie. Instead of being a true story about the rich man Lazarus, now it's some lie told by the Pharisees. And then listen to this in verse 34. This is all verse 34. It's a really long verse in here. You look at verse 34 in your Bible. Then your story ends by Abraham saying, if your brothers are not willing to listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen to anyone, even if he rose from the dead. So you see, you yourselves teach people that they should listen to the scriptures and that what they do in this life will affect them in the next one. Is that a paraphrase of verse 31? No, that's just something completely different. Okay? Now, let's see what the message does. Because, I mean, the message is going to go even further, right? That's what Adventist.org says. Oh, this is much truer to the original than the message. That message just really takes liberties. Okay, look at verse 31. Remember, the King James says in verse 31, he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Here's what the message says. Abraham replied, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they're not going to be convinced by someone who rises from the dead. That's the message. Here's the clear word. Then your story ends by Abraham saying, if your brothers are not willing to listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen to anyone even if he rose from the dead. So you see, you yourselves teach people that they should listen to the scriptures and that they what they do in this life will affect them in the next one. Listen to me. The Bible says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. And let me tell you something. That is just lying to sit there and say, Jesus said, oh, he's just trying to make it easier to understand. He's just making it clear. No, it's clearly satanic. Amen. You're clearly in a cult. You clearly don't care what the Bible says because you're worshiping a woman named Ellen G. White that taught you that this story is a lie. It's not a lie. Jesus told the truth about that story, and it's the Seventh-day Adventists that are lying today.
Amen.
But can you believe that brazen? And look,